Alrighty, folks. Welcome to Digital Fight Club, or This Is Untitled, or whatever it is. I don't know. Myself and Francis Corden are now going to talk to you, or talk to each other, for the next 10 minutes about generative AI. Welcome. Well, it's good to see you, Francis. Whether you like it or not, I think generative AI is the best thing to have happened for quite some damn time.
How do you spell it? It's like, is it
well,
G-E-N?
Because I'm so digital, it's hashtag GENAI.
All right. Okay. So that's easy. Yeah. And the AI still means what it's always meant for the last 30, 40 years, right? Or 100
years.
There's the
comical part. You know what I mean? I wrote an article recently and said, generative AI, the 85-year-old overnight success story. It's like everything in life. You know yourself, I would argue hype, unfortunately, but that's just the way it is. I've heard some stories, great news, generative AI can allow you to do fraud detection. Yeah, you could do that with a crayon and a piece of paper. Generative AI can do churn modeling. Yeah, you kind of could do that about 20, 30, 40 years ago as well. But the difference between old AI, narrow, and new AI, broad, I think that's probably the most exciting thing. And it's a bit, and I hate this word because I used to use it in RPA, democratized. But I have to say, now you've got interfaces that allow practically anyone for no dollar or low margin to access potentially some of the greatest AI and insight that brings than anyone else has been able to access or do since we had maybe the browser coming on track.
Right. That was interesting and factual, but what we need to do is make this interesting and exciting, right? So I think that the word generative AI is everywhere. Everybody's using it in loosely terms that they don't even understand, and then in real deep techie terms that I'm not even sure the techies understand, right? So from my perspective, I've looked at so many things around this Gen AI, and I think that the cool stuff is the stuff that you can immediately move into almost a production environment, go play with, right? ChatGPT was the great example. It's like, go play. If it was useless, if it never gave you any results, you would never go back to it. It's like the early days of search, right? You just go and find other ways to do it. What I like about Gen AI, and I think that there's a huge fun, cautious bit here too, which is that the good stuff, it's going to float all boats simultaneously. So there's a lot of enterprises and vendors that are putting out, hey, I've done this with Gen AI. If it's that good an idea, can they tell me why their competitive vendor can't have that the next week? Is there really any way to control? They don't own most of the IP here, right? It's like everybody's going to be floating everybody's boat. And when they have a good idea, it's going to become predominant.
But that's true of everything from the first wheel that was ever invented. You know, they're all same concept.
There's a lot of technology that went into the Wii that was different to the Xbox.
A wheel,
right?
A wheel, not the Wii.
Oh, it's the Wii.
We're not having a Wii on air, Francis. Okay. We're having a wheel. But you know what I mean? It sort of goes back, and it's an interesting
accent. Mate. You need to learn to speak English.
Says the American Anglophile.
That's true. Harsh but fair. No, but seriously. It is comparative because I guess it is because everybody can have a wheel, but then everybody was rolling along on wagons and trains and stuff. So it is the same. This is the same. Most people are pulling out of the bag. They've got great products. They're applying Gen AI to it. But I don't see much differentiation. When somebody shows me a Gen AI example of something they've done, I immediately can turn around and go, well, that vendor's going to have that. And so is that one. And so it, like, the competitive advantage maybe will last weeks and months, but it won't be months and years. You see what I'm saying?
I do. And I'm going to do a butt in there. So you can take loads of examples. I'll not name brands, unless, of course, folks, you want to sponsor myself and Francis.
Let's make some money.
Name you religiously throughout the podcast, not letting on that you're actually sponsoring it, and except put you as a title.
I'll say there a name, you beep it out.
No, they have to pay for the beeping. If you look at some of the products that are proposing that they can write code, let's start to diagnose that a little bit. I'm excited by that. One unnamed brand claims of 12 or 13 different coding languages that can make developers 57% more efficient. Now, mine isn't the excitement around that, because that is, well, let me rephrase it. It is exciting hearing that happening. It does come fraught with dangers, of course, as well. You know, putting stuff out in a black box that you don't understand. But before, you couldn't technically do that with AI in as evolved a way as you can now for as many languages and many instances. If you can make people more productive, tick number one. But if you can build in ethics into that, if you can build in data security into that, if you can build in code quality, if you can build in automatic tagging and everything else, then it really comes down to the quality of your data that you're going into these things. And the quality of data has always been true of AI. But you will get vendors, and I use the word potentially temporarily, having the best and most voluminous quantity of data out there. And remember, good data or volumes and extra bits of data don't sometimes matter, the statistical fact. But they can leap ahead of the competitors because they won't have that advantage. Up until the point that their competitors try and get some of these terabytes of data and examples, or governments at some stage may legislate that the data has to be made open to the public for public good. Now, will that happen? Probably not. But I do see that the data component is a massive one.
Yeah, but I think that you just said you introduced an interesting topic, which is AI generating code. So let's work that back. What problems are actually solving? Oh, well, the developer doesn't want to work as hard and we need to be more productive in building code. Well, you know what? That's always been the case of optimization. But for the 20 years of the life of the application that's built in code, is the building it in the first place the big problem? The cost is exponentially more, like thousands of times more, after that first program goes into production and for the next 20, 30, 40 years, it has to be supported. Is Gen AI generating code going to actually solve that problem? So I'm going to introduce an idea here. If Gen AI can produce code, it can also produce low code. It can also produce no code. So the idea is that Gen AI should produce a model of a description of what an application needs in order to execute, in order to provide a user interface, to provide all of the steps and all of the ways in which that executes. And then somebody goes off and says, well, we want to go off and generate it in Java. Okay, let it go do it. Now, you could be really smart and have that Gen AI then support that code it's produced, but not if you start allowing developers to go in and ad hoc and poke holes in it everywhere that the Gen AI goes, oh, I don't know what you just did, and you end up in that diatribe. Or you let Gen AI build the application in whatever you like, pick one, right? This low-code vendor, this Java, this Python, whatever. And then you go execute it, but don't let anybody touch it. And then you could use Gen AI to say, I now want to add another field, go do this other field. And I think that is staring us in the face as being a real possibility, isn't it?
Yes, and or but. So let me pick back through that there. I actually think the cost of programming is immense because programmers cost large quantities of cash and there isn't enough programmers in the world. And if you look inside of any organization, there's always more demand for programming skills than can affordably be put to use. And therefore, I don't think it's just the fact that coders are lazy, because I've met some amazing coders. I've also met some really crappy ones. And there's a good one. Everybody, coders, they're great. I've met some crappy, crappy, crappy coders over the years. But my favorite hated word, democratizes coding potentially to massive greater number of firms. It potentially opens up more coding that can get done by the same number of coders inside of a business. And at the moment, and even possibly into the nearest future, I don't know if the code will be as good a quality as we'll want it to be, because you've seen the ads on LinkedIn and Instagram. But let me finish the statement here, because there's more. I can point at a flow and it'll build the code. I can point at a website, it'll build the website. I will eventually be able to use multimodal, where I'll speak and it will produce what I want. But I kind of like a senior coder who's a really great engineer checking that, and they may have to fix it. And what I would like is, assuming they have competence, the external coder to the Gen AI, I'd like the Gen AI to look at it and go, damn, a bit like a junior coder, I've now learned something and I'm now going to incorporate that into what I now know my corpus of knowledge. And then what I'm going to do, if it's cleverer, it'll go through all of the code that it's written to date in every other instance. So the senior coder doesn't have to find where it's done it. And it will then go and fix the code subject to seeking permission from the senior coder to validate that that's possible.
But I've already said that Gen AI generating an app, i.e. through code, why does it matter then that it's code or not? It doesn't matter. we need to, Gen AI is going to float this and elevate this even higher. You're going to have this idea for an application or a website, and you can then go in and Gen AI say, you know, a bit like Gen AI right now, it's connected to Bing, right? And it's eventually going to be connected to Google. We all know that, right? Or so the idea is you come up with this idea for an application on this website. You've got this design in mind, and it'll come up and say, "Ooh, how would you like to execute that?" Well, I'd like it to be really, really fast. I'd like it to be in assembler code. Who cares? If you don't go back and touch it, let it do what is, we could let it make the choices what the best execution model is and what's the best cloud to run it on and what's the best elasticity that it needs or what's the best serverless. You see what I'm saying is that I think that if you're going to do Gen AI to build code, stop calling it that. It's Gen AI to build an app. You get to choose whether you want it in Java because you've got a bunch of Java developers that need a job for the next 20 to 30 years because you're going to have to support the thing. Or you may want to develop it in some new model, like in, or an existing low-code, no-code vendor. Who cares? You choose now because the Gen AI will just generate what it needs underneath based upon what it's learned. And eventually, I think I can see it be a checkbox.
Yeah, I like that. Sorry, I got confused at the moment when you said there's just zero code. Ultimately, everything will have code behind it in some shape. And then I'm thinking of some extended uses here. So you remember that you used to dig up your granny who could do COBOL. We'd assume the COBOL had disappeared for years and years and years. You know, you start to look here at generative AI and you're talking about one language and moving to another or whatever else. Obviously, we got containers and services that compute, so you could put stuff away and let it run forever. But it'd be really interesting to turn around and say, right, here's my current system. It's written in COBOL. I want you to write it in Java, whatever. Knock yourself out. So instead of needing decades of coders to do all that, it'd be quite interesting to have your digital assistant go off and redo everything you want, but much better than before, and then convert it into a cloud-based app if you couldn't do it. But walk through some of the impacts of what we're talking about here, Francis, because this is the bit, I love this. I have to say, having been in tech for 30 years and led AI teams for 13 with hosts of PhDs, I'm still excited about this. And I really, really think it's a thing, but it scares me at the same time. Because if everybody can become a coder, a Gen AI producer, app producer, then what are we going to do with all our coders?
Well, I like that term. Let's stop calling them coders because I think code will be dead. I think it will be. You're going to need coders, and anybody that thinks when I say code is dead, I'm talking about for applications that enterprises use. You know, I have a mega hatred for anybody trying to take an existing 20-year-old system and try to turn it into something else by optimizing it or moving it from COBOL to Java or something. I think that's just ridiculous. You can step back now and say, I need to do this in today's digital world with the technologies we have today that weren't around 5-10 years ago, let alone 30 years ago, right? And I want to build it in a new manner. And maybe what Gen AI will do is if some wonderful new underpinning technology comes out 3 years from now, you could say, well, now move it across to that. But I don't want to take this old stuff that was built when we were automating what humans did because there was no technology. We computerized them and we took exactly what they did, good, bad, and ugly, and we moved it into the computer world. And we've lived with that for 40, 50 years now. I think we have to now say what's built in the future is new. Connect to the old because it's the laggards that can't get rid of it. And one day you'll wake up and go, we have no more legacy. I think that's what Gen AI could do for us. And I don't really care whether or not you execute that code on whatever cloud, whether you execute it with Java. And I joke about assembler, but assembler is going to be the fastest execution known to man. So why couldn't the Gen AI generate an assembler? If you're not going to touch it, you don't care.
True. Go over to my fear, though, one second, because I do want to talk about this for a
moment. So Gen AI is going to create assembler language. That could be the fun humor here we have, right? Assembly is back. You just won't ever see it. It's all assembly code, right?
Yeah, you just might have to explain. Whilst you and I wrote assembly code back in the day, people may not understand what assembly code is. Doing something down at IKEA. Sure.
I do envy the youngsters. You raised another point as well.
Thanks, Francis. I'm glad you envy me.
I envy the youngsters coming into this technology world today. And I've said this to some people, it's going to be on my tombstone. I envy the youngsters coming into this generation. What they have ahead of them is a fantastic opportunity to be a part of this. Just as I was lucky enough at the age of 16, 17 to be entering in at the computerization era, right? I was lucky because that built my whole career. There is a career opportunity here for anybody that wants to get in tech. Don't come to me and say you want to be a programmer. That's not what you want to be doing. You want to be looking peripherally much wider about what the industry is doing. It's game changing, and I think you can build a real good career around this.
Yeah, I was tempted to say there a moment ago, yes, you were at the start of the career of lots of IT things. I'd like to say, in the most gorgeous sense, Francis is the grandfather of IT. I wouldn't possibly suggest there was dinosaurs around there as well. I want to log a phrase because I'm going to claim it. I said it months ago. The first AI natives will be coming out of college very, very soon. That is exciting. But here's the downside of this, Francis. I do want to talk about it for a moment because if everybody whacks open ChatGPT, and I heard someone yesterday, and I can't name them for their own good graces.
But you know who you are.
You know who you are. They're writing letters to ministers, and they're looking at HR documents, and they're doing it in ChatGPT. And this is in fairness to them, not a criticism at all, but they hadn't checked the box in the bottom left to say, don't make my data now part of the corpus of OpenAI. So we need to talk about security, but don't even talk about that. That's just to chuck in to folks. Please, please, please watch that you're not making your private data just part of the
official. Yeah,
but people don't know, and that's the overfaith in AI and the technical lack of understanding that I worry about AI natives coming out and just doing something, and then we repeat the same ethics and security and whatever errors in the past. But it's this. Take India PLC, and these numbers I don't think are factual, but you'll get my argument here. If there's 5 million developers in India, and this code developer, app developer, platform developer, whatever it is we're talking about, generative AI enabled, can do that 57, 60% better than current, that kind of scares me because what do those people do? Now, technically, you can say, well, they can do more. Well, assumes there's more. Well, they can do it cheaper. Well, okay, so if cheaper code, you can maybe do it for more people, but what if they're all using generative AI? To your point at the beginning, what's the advantage if everybody's got the same knowledge and the same capabilities? It then just comes down to ideas. But all of a sudden, it's in a way the first technology that's hitting cognitive or so-called knowledge workers. Knowledge workers in most economies make up the highest proportion of taxable revenues, and the trickle-down income that comes from those individuals to whatever you want to call it, mechanics, builders, florists, bakers, whatever else. That's huge. Now, what happens if those jobs don't exist?
Society, I've said this, but in all the generations that we've gone through, the technology we've gone to, society has to plan and deal with it. But ultimately, it's going to happen. So one's not going to stop the other. So I don't have the answers, right? That's not the way my brain is wired.
That's why you're on this podcast.
I'm not sure anybody actually has these answers. They can pretend they do. They can say, we'll do more social stuff. I do remember going into the workforce very early, many, many years ago, and they said, we're all going to be working 3 days a week thanks to computers. Well, that didn't really come off. I do think that there's going to be a shift in the workforce. Is Gen AI for good or is Gen AI for the bad, right? I think it's going to be a mixture of both. But I will say this is that, because something you did say there about security, just for our audience, anything you type into your computer screen can and will be used against you in a court of law. Because I don't care what anybody says. I mean, some of these RPA bots, people don't realize, you know, when you type something or you pay something by mistake, and then you backspace it out so it doesn't get entered. That's already in the computer. What you type sometimes has gone over the wire. It's stored in the computer, and they know what you're typing. So you could actually think, oh, I'm not going to let that go. So just be very, very cautious. Be overly cautious, but equally use it to your advantage because this stuff is game-changing, and it's the next generation. And I think that it's an exciting time to be entering in the what do we call it? Not the computerization world. Oh, well, you know, people say, I want to get into computers. Do I want to get into IT? What do either of them mean? We need something new, don't we?
I just want to get out of bed in the morning. Francis, I want to be able to. On that note, until the next podcast, where we'll need another topic, I'll see you soon.
Or continue this topic, but deep dive if our audience responds and tells us what they want to hear around this. What do they agree or disagree with? So appreciate it. And Kieran, as always, great to be a part of this.